Good evening and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we continue the study that has been going on, as our brother reminded us for the last many weeks, we'll continue in the book of the Proverbs and in chapter 28. So Proverbs chapter 28, we'll read through the verses first, and then we'll look at each of these verses in terms of how it instructs us, as we've seen in the past 27 chapters as well, instructs us in a life of wisdom, in a life of integrity, and in terms of how we would be able to live and to be able to follow this as we continue to live for Him. So let's look together in Proverbs chapter 28, starting at verse 1. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Because of the transgression of a land, many are its princes, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, right will be prolonged. A poor man who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain which leaves no food. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Whoever keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons shames his father. One who increases his possessions by usury and extortion gathers it for him who will pity the poor. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Whoever causes the upright to go astray in an evil way, he himself will fall into his own pit, but the blameless will inherit good. The rich man is wise in his own eyes, but the poor who has understanding searches him out. When the righteous rejoice, there is great glory, but when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Like a roaring lion and a charging bear is a wicked ruler over poor people. A ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor, but he who hates covetousness will prolong his days. A man burdened with bloodshed will flee into a pit. Let no one help him. Whoever walks blamelessly will be saved, but he who is perverse in his ways will suddenly fall. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. To show partiality is not good, because for a piece of bread a man will transgress. A man with an evil eye hastens after riches and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue. Whoever robs his father or his mother and says it is no transgression, the same is companion to a destroyer. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts the Lord will be prospered. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. He who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. When the wicked arise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. When we look back into verse 1, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. This verse speaks of the confusion and of the fear that belongs to those who pursue wickedness. Because what they find is that when they're wicked, even when no one is chasing them, they are going to run. It is not something that belongs to those that are godly and wise. The righteous are bold as a lion. God's righteous ones stand firm even when one comes against them. And with God's strength, they show the courage, the picture of the lion that we often see and the courage that comes. Verse 2, because of the transgression of a land, many are its princes, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, right will be prolonged. To have many princes, to have many rulers and with officials is not seen as a blessing. In order to be able to enjoy that stability, to be able to enjoy that continuity, it shows how a large and complex government can often be a curse to a people because of the transgression of a land. The model that was built was to have somebody there for stability. But over here, the writer to the Proverbs says, because of transgression, you will find many rulers. And that is an indication of their folly. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, right will be prolonged. It will be extended. Instead of many princes, God blesses a land with a man of understanding and knowledge. And again, here we see this truth that is there, that great and godly leaders can be a wonderful blessing unto the people, unto the nations. In verse 3, a poor man who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain which leaves no food. When you look at those words that are there for a poor man who oppresses the poor in that first word talks about that which is lacking, someone who has nothing. But the second one who oppresses the poor, that poor, is feeble. So this one that is lacking is oppressing this one who is weak, who is poor. You might think that under normal circumstances, one that is poor might have sympathy, that they might be empathetic even to be able to understand that. But this is not always the case, according to the writer of the Proverbs. And we saw this even our Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 18. We won't turn there. But as he talks about the parable of the two debtors, the one who was the more aggressive was the one who was poor, not the one who was rich. The oppressing poor was delivered unto the tormentors, and the forgiven debt was charged to his amount. This was something that the Lord Jesus was even trying to illustrate. Like a driving rain which leaves no food, the destructive rain that comes, that takes away even the crops that are already just coming that the people can eat. And so it's a picture, it's an imagery that the writer to the Proverbs is trying to show about how oppressive it is. We see the heart of God even in this verse as he's trying to communicate, that says that it is not enough that just a poor person is oppressing the poor. How abominable, how awful that is. And it is like this rain, and rains are usually seen as refreshing. And yet, when a poor person oppresses the poor, it is like a rain which leaves no food. When we come to verse 4, those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. When those who forsake the law praise the wicked, those who have no way to be able to understand or to uphold the fundamental principles of justice, that doesn't benefit the righteous. And so these are the ones who are going after and praising the wicked. But such as keep the law, contend with them. And contend here means to quarrel, to be able to show a force of resistance. That those that keep the law, that protect them, they can never live with the wicked. When they see the injustice that is there, they are always willing to overcome them. Those who honor and promote the rule of law, they will resist and they will oppose the wicked. This is why God gives law and government to men, so that there is a model that is there to restrain the work of the wicked, to uphold justice, and to be able to keep the law. Verse 5, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. Evil men do not understand justice. Those that are fundamentally evil or wicked, they do not even understand what this concept of justice is. And this is what the writer is saying, that when there is evil in their heart, when the devil has blinded their eyes by their own prejudices and passions, they can never see what justice is. And it is because this, if you look at these words that even talk about understand, it is like they are blinded. They cannot see, or they will never be able to see. Which is why then that second half of that verse becomes a contrast. So evil men are blinded by their passions and prejudices, and they can never see justice. But what does it say in the second part? But those who seek the Lord, those who are looking for Him with their eyes, with the eyes of their heart as well, but those who seek the Lord understand all. They seek the Lord, they fear the Lord, and they have His wisdom with Him. Verse 6, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. We see the example of this verse many times over the course of the Proverbs, that it is better to be poor and to have integrity than to be one who is rich but perverse in their ways. This is an encouragement that is given to those who are poor and who are often despised, but that God sees them as being better off, that they are defined more by their character than by what their assets might be, what their bank account shows, or what their financial worth is, that the worth of an individual is considered very differently in the eyes of God than in the measure that we in this world more commonly might see. Verse 7, whoever keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons shames his father. When we look at this proverb as well, when we look at this chapter rather, sorry, excuse me, in the Proverbs, this is a common theme that you will see, again, the relationship with family. You will see about a son and a father, about a child toward the family. And over here we see that obedience is shown as a proof of wisdom. Throughout this proverb, we see about the blessings and the courage of wisdom. And wisdom is shown through in obedience of the law. Those who claim to be discerning or wise, but yet live their lives in disobedience to the law, are ultimately shown as fools. A companion of gluttons shames his father. What we see here is not even just the fact that this individual is being called a glutton or being accused of gluttony and therefore bringing shame, but just being a companion of them, just being in the association with them. And so oftentimes, you know, people will say, look, I'm not doing what they're doing. I was just along with them. What this verse is saying is just even being a companion shames the father. And so an encouragement and a warning to us who listen in terms of asking the question, what kind of company do we keep in the world? Those that are described as gluttons, those that are, their words are gluttonous, their acts or their deeds are gluttonous. We have to be reminded that the company we keep reflects on our Heavenly Father as well. Verse 8, one who increases his possessions by usury and extortion, usury or the collection of a tax and extortion, gathers it for him who will pity the poor. There were those that would charge high levels of interest. And oftentimes those who could never pay. In fact, you see this today even in the banking industry with regard to payday loans. Or you look at high interest credit cards. Oftentimes those who have resources, those who have money, will never participate. But there are predatory lending schemes that exist today. These are nothing new. Even in the times of Solomon, even in the times past that were there. Today there are regulations that protect individuals, but there are still so many practices that take advantage of those who cannot do that. In scripture, when you look back historically, when you calculated the interest that was often charged by people in these historical times, you often had 30% interest. People would look at that and they'd say, oh my gosh, that's not. Well, I encourage you, go look at your credit card bill and you will see that this was actually probably a deal relative to what some of the banks are charging for your credit card. And unfortunately, the trap that so many people fall into that. There was a reason in God's law in Deuteronomy chapter 23. God had a purpose. He had a reason for where taxes were to be collected from the people. There was an economic benefit for it. But it was viewed as improper when it came to caring for the family. And also especially in terms of the care for the poor. But gathers it for him who will pity the poor. That last part of verse 8. A reminder from Solomon as well. That God will not allow these oppressive criminals to have the last word. Wealth of the wicked is simply gathered for those who have love and pity for the poor. For the poor, God, the righteous judge, will be willing to share that and show his compassion. Verse 9, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law. God wants us always to have an open and an attentive ear toward his law. What we are doing here, whether in person here or online, what we've done on the Lord's Day, in the preaching of the word, in the study of his word, and even today as we take this time of devotion. God wants us to have an open ear, to hunger for it, and to be able to see it, and to have no hunger or desire for it. Even his prayer becomes an abomination and a sin. And so this verse gives a glimpse into the heart of God of how much he wants us to seek his word, to seek his truth, to seek his heart, that those who turn away from it, those who choose not to hear it, even their prayer becomes a sin that will never enter into the presence of God. Verse 10, whoever causes the upright to go astray in an evil way. This is a verse that we see throughout scripture. And then even interestingly enough, when the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5 or later on in 18 and even in verse 23, there was a special level of wrath that was set aside by the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly for those who sin, but then for those who would lead others astray as well. And so this is something that whoever causes the upright to go astray in an evil way. So those who take somebody that is on the straight path and then move them away, there is a special burden. There is a special anger that is there that he himself will fall into his own pit. A reminder that God knows how to put the wicked in their place, and that he will not leave the final word for these people. Verse 11, the rich man is wise in his own ways, but the poor who has understanding searches him out. We've seen this even before in other Proverbs that we've looked at, other chapters that we've looked at, that oftentimes wisdom often leads to wealth, but it is not always true the other way around. That wealth does not lead to wisdom. The poor man who has understanding stands above the rich man that has the pride of a fool. The wise poor man may examine the rich man, but very rarely does it happen the other way around. Verse 12, when the righteous rejoice, there is great glory. It is good for everyone that the condition of their community is positive. There is great glory. But when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. Even the wicked don't want to be ruled by other wicked men. And when those wicked arise, we see the freedoms, we see the benefits that are there in a society begin to diminish. Verse 13, he who covers his sin will not prosper. Since Adam and Eve, since the time of the beginning in the creation there in the Garden of Eden, human instinct has been to cover up sin. That in some way our instinct is to cloak it. Our conscience makes us ashamed and we don't want anyone to see it. We think we can even hide it from God, but beloved, we know that this is not true. Charles Spurgeon, in a famous sermon on this very proverb, he talked about ways that men try to cover up their sin. And it is not by a cloak, or it is not by a garment of skin or fig leaves. But the way that men try to cover themselves, their sins up, are excuses or justifications or secrecy to hide it from those that are near, lies, schemes, time. If I don't say anything, hopefully somebody will forget it. Tears. Or worse, even ceremonies or sacraments that they use to cover things up. But whoever covers his sin, who confesses and forsakes them, will have mercy. The path to receiving God's mercy is to confess and to repent. I loved this in preparing for this. F.B. Meyer, the famous author, had a beautiful definition or an explanation of confession, which is confession is to take God's side against sin. I love that. Confession is to take God's side against sin, that we come on the same side that God is to see the totality, the evil, and the absolute nature of sin. Verse 14, happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. The reverence and hardness of heart are seen as opposites. They will fall into calamity either in this life or in the life to come. Verses 15 and then also 16, we look at this together because it talks about the ruler, a leader over his people. Again, a theme that we have seen even earlier in this chapter. Like a roaring lion and a charging bear, with these images, Solomon is trying to picture what the effect of a wicked ruler is over the people, with unpredictable, with uncontrollable ferocity. He who hates covetousness will prolong his days. He is likely to be wise because he is not seeking to just get and to look and to see all of the things that are around him, and that his rule will be prolonged. Verse 17, a man burdened with bloodshed will flee into a pit. Let no one help him. Because anxious things are on his mind, and he ends up falling. Let no one help him. What is being talked about here is there are consequences of sin that oftentimes people are left with. Whoever walks blamelessly will be saved, but he who is perverse in his ways will suddenly fall. These two verses have the same theme about walking and falling. Verse 19, he who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough. We see a contrast here. Plenty of bread and plenty of poverty, and the mindset and the actions that lead to each. Verse 20, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Again, talking here about the faithfulness and the idea that, look, you are willing to pursue wealth. The Bible never talks about wealth as being a bad thing, but it talks about the love of it, or what you are willing to compromise to go after it. But he who hastens to be rich, that person is always willing to compromise or to do something that would cheat someone, or willing to do whatever it takes to gain that wealth. God promises that this one will be punished, either in this life or the next. Verses 21 and 22, to show partiality is not good. because for a piece of bread a man will transgress. A man with an evil eye hastens after riches and does not consider the poverty that will come upon him. It's very similar to what we saw in verse 20. So I won't comment on that, just in the interest of time. Verse 23, he who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue. This is such a powerful statement that exists even today. Oftentimes we find that it is easier for us to say nothing when we have to correct somebody or we have to offer a word of instruction because it leads to a difficult conversation. But beloved, when we do not do that, it actually hurts the other person. It puts them in a bad stage where we're able to say, well, it's easier for me to say something good rather than to offer a critique or something of that sense. Just very quickly, if we come down to just in the interest of time, verse 27, he who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. It is such an interesting way in which we talk about this. I was thinking about what our brother George Uncle was talking about for the last few weeks about the attitude of giving and of the ability to be able to do that. This proverb talks about the richness that comes from giving, but it is interesting how in the second part of the verse it doesn't talk about not giving, but it talks about when we turn our eyes away. And that talks about he who hides his eyes. To hide eyes means to refuse to see poverty. That if I just don't look there, I can pretend in my heart and mind it doesn't exist. But beloved, we know, and may the Spirit touch our hearts and our minds to be able to keep our eyes open, to be able to see that. When the wicked arise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. Talking about this idea that says that yes, when the wicked arise, we've seen this throughout history and throughout community, that when the wicked and their influence come, the righteous will hide, but when they perish, the righteous increase. And a reminder again that God will be in control and that he is the one that while the wicked may succeed for a moment, while they may hasten after things or they may oppress the poor, ultimately, God is in control. And Solomon continues to remind the people of this, that as we follow each and every one of these 28 proverbs that are contained in this chapter, may we continue to understand the blessings and the courage of wisdom. May he add his blessing to his word, and may it be an encouragement to us all.